When I listened to the first episode of Jocko, which we both did this past week to start this podcast because we want to move in sequential order. What I realized is, first of all, it shouldn't be Jocko number one. It should be Jocko 101. Because I feel a lot of the principles that he's talking about right from the jump are things that he just kind of expounds on throughout the first, 130 or whatever, however many episodes he's done so far. Talks about discipline, talks about mental toughness, talks about just all the things that, I think people love him for.
Yeah, and he's like one of those guys that just kind of has an answer and just doing it right. Like he said, if it was easy being like a leader, he wouldn't have a job or he wouldn't have any type of book or any type of career in that, or I guess a second career in that. And he just knows how to just kind of move towards things, right?
So let's start with the surprising things. I don't know if I've ever heard him talk about this before, but he says that one of the things that drives him is fear, and specifically his fear of failure. Fear of being overtaken was his exact quote. And that he was reminiscing on his time in the military. And he's like, that fear of failing or screwing up or disappointing people was what pushed him to like start some of the principles that I think people respect him for. So in specifically like getting to work early, double checking his gear, just making sure that he wasn't like the weak link in his team.
But he quickly transitioned that fear to kind of a respect. Like you have to have a respect for your enemy, knowing that are they preparing and not preparing, but are you kind of doing more than me to prepare? And I was trying to remember the exact wording that he put it, but it turned out to be more of a respect for the enemy. And then a fear. If you're fear driven, you're not going to be a good leader.
I heard a quote one time from Jimmy Iovine, and he said that fear is a very good motivator, but it can either push you from behind, so propels you to action, which I think what Jocko does, or it can push you in the from the front, and it actually inhibits your ability to do anything. So you're kind of paralyzed with fear; you don't know what to do.
I think fear is
a natural like emotion that everybody experiences from time to time. And if you can just mentally tell yourself, like, I understand this is unpleasant, but I need to push through this feeling. So I just started listening to one of my favorite authors is Michael Lewis, and he has this Audible original that just came out yesterday, and he's talking about profiling this one woman who winds up being one of the first women astronauts ever in space. And she talked about something that was useful for fear, where she in some instances they're preparing the NASA astronauts for like catastrophic. And
hey, we're gonna put you on a rocket. That's the thing with like Jocko. Like he's actually sitting there trying to sleep in the middle of a conflict. Same thing. Like you're trying to sit there and relax when you're strapped to a rocket. Like those two things are just kind of unrelatable to me, and I'm sure to you. But like still, like. Like, I don't know.
It's unrelatable because we don't experience it in our day to day, but the tactics are probably useful to apply to whatever you're afraid of.
Sure.
So what she realized was that she would just train her mind, and she's like, listen, I can be afraid before and I can be afraid after, but during, that's not going to happen. And she compared that because she was an oceanographer before she was an astronaut. And there'd be all kinds of equipment and weird stuff that happens out at sea. And in one time, they're in a really bad storm. And equipment's breaking, and you're scared. You fall overboard, like you could die. And she starts trembling. She's like, I can't do this right now because that fear will actually lead to my demise. And so she wind up calming down and getting, fixing the equipment, getting the job done, and getting back inside safely.
Well, she kind of has to have her faculties to navigate through whatever comes her way.
Yeah, but we all do.
Well, fear's going to inhibit that.
Yeah, if you allow it to. So I liked his, what I'm saying is use it as a tool instead of an obstacle. I liked Jocko's opinion on that. Something I love, which is classic Jocko, about 22 minutes into the podcast. He's like, mental toughness is just a simple choice. Are you going through this thing that sucks? You're going through a thing that sucks, that's hard. And are you going to, you have two options. Are you going to suffer through it or are you going to quit? And then, there's some pushback with Echo. He's like, oh, kind of. And there's like no wiggle room with Jocko, which is what I love because like
more sit ups. And he's just like, yes, you can just do it. Like that's why I love Jocko. Like you can hear that and you're just like, yeah, it's just that fucking simple. We are getting in our way more than what we can't do. Does that make sense? Like, we just literally tell ourselves, I can't do five more. Jocko would just be a different animal. Be like, yeah, just do it.
Yeah, the reason I keep telling almost everybody that listens to podcasts to listen to his podcast is because, like, it's, to me, valuable where, you know, a lot of us will just make excuses about that. And that's quote unquote normal. But then you come across people and you're like, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't have to be my default mode. There's actually other people out there that are choosing a different path. And at the end of the day, I'd rather choose the path that they're on than the path of allowing, you know, myself to quit just because there's a little bit of adversity.
So you think it's kind of like more of a readjustment to how you think listening to this podcast?
So I always use the example of I have a good friend of mine that does Ironman, and he does Ironmans all constantly, like a couple every year. And
now,
he does half Ironmans.
Triathlete.
Yeah, it's insane. So basically, you start out swimming 2.5 miles, then you get on a bike and you bike, I think, for 120 miles, and then you run a marathon after that.
Okay, that's fucking
and insane. Yeah, and I've known this guy for a long time, and I'm like, how do you do this? He's like, I was like, what kind of shape were you in when you started doing this? Like, when you decided to do this? He's like, well, I didn't even work out. And I go, did you run? He's like, no, I just played basketball. And I was like, well, how'd you start? He's like, well, I just started out running, you know, 5K, then a 10K, and then I was able to run a little longer. Then I got a bike, and then I started swimming. And then you just do, like, he's been doing it for 10 years. So now what we're seeing is the end result. And I'm comparing where I'm at now to where he's, you know, 10 years after. That doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
And, where he's just like, you just, you know, you, and so I was like, is there ever time that you want to quit? He's like, yeah, every time. You just don't. It's very much similar to Jocko. He's like, I know I'll feel better when I'm done. That right now it sucks. It's painful, but I'll feel better. And he did a half Ironman.
Did you say biking 120 miles?
I think it's something like that. It's pretty crazy. That's, so, but let me just get that thought out though. So he came here, he came down to Miami and he was doing a half Ironman, and it was really hot and humid and you know, it was really, really crazy. So it's actually 112 miles. I just looked it up. So it's swim 2.4 miles, bike 112 miles, and then run a marathon. So what happened is I'm at the finish line. I'm really good friends with his wife and we're waiting for him. And he runs across the finish line. Within 2 feet of the finish line, he falls to the ground. He can't move. He's there for like 15 minutes. He was cramped up the entire way. And he just like, well, I can rest when I get across that finish line. So
yeah.
that's a very extreme
mentality.
You know, yeah, mental. But it's kind of echoes what Jocko was saying about mental toughness. And I liked that story he told. He's like, listen, everybody thinks that you're a badass if you're a SEAL and everything else. And
but there's a caveat to it. Like, even Jocko says that he sees guys training and just being a part of I guess MMA, and they would go to the edge and they would actually be declining. So there is a caveat. Like, there's got to be, like, your mentality shouldn't override your full capacity of physical ability, right? Like, there's got
to. So what you're saying is there's a time where it can be your extra effort can be counterproductive.
Exactly. Absolutely. Like, okay. If you just keep going 100%, like, well, you know, that's not going to sound good. But let's say you're at this level and you're just mentally breaking through this stuff, ignoring all your physical feedbacks. And then eventually, I really don't know, but I'm sure there's a declining something system in you at that stress level, right? Like, maybe your bones are saying, hey, man, we're about to just like just shatter if you keep running. I don't know. I'm just saying there's definitely a caveat. Mental toughness is great, but you can't have it too callous to where you can't listen to your body is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're echoing Echo Charles'
viewpoint on the podcast. He was a little simple about it. He was just like, I can't do five more sit-ups. And Jocko says, well, no, it's just five more. You can do five more.
Yeah, but is that really simple? Like, what if you've just did 1,000 and now those last five are 1,004, 1,001, 1,002, and so on? Like, let's use the Ironman example. I definitely don't, like, when you're getting to the end of the Ironman and you have an actual concrete finish line, yes, right after that, I'm sure they're not in peak physical condition. Their body is unbelievably broken down to the point where they have trouble, in some cases, walking for a few days, or, you know, it's painful.
Imagine if you do this Ironman and you're incapacitated for 3 days afterwards, or there's something that keeps you on the couch for 4 days. That's where I say, like, you got to draw the line with your mental callus. Like, you can't just keep going. And I'm trying to think of anybody in history that just kept going and didn't really, like, have a benefit, like, just ultimately demise. Shackleton made it home, but you just, those are extreme survival situations where I think that's where it's a beautiful thing. But if you're at home, there's got to be, like, a baseline you get to, and then you push the edge ever so much. So, like, it's not like you can do, if you could do 1,000 sit-ups, I'm going to say yes, you could do 1,005.
I don't know. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back. We don't really know where that line's from. Hey, so on a different note, though, something I wanted to talk to you about. He starts out the podcast talking about, it's a little weird. He's never had a social presence, like online presence before this. And he's like, I've never been the most social person. You know, he clearly focuses.
Like someone we know, right?
Who though?
You. You have no social presence, but a podcast. You are just like Jock.
Well, here's the my question to you, because he clearly focuses on work and family, and you know, and for work, I think, like, getting better. I don't even know if he'd consider. Yeah, he works a lot, but he also focuses on self-improvement. So he reads a lot. He writes a lot. He works out every day. He surfs. He does jiu-jitsu, that kind of stuff. Where is socializing in your priority of your day-to-day life right now where you're at with everything going on? Because, like, for Jocko, it's zero, right? It's at the bottom. It's like, I got shit to do.
Yeah. Well, Jocko has...
Where is it for you?
Jocko has a family that he can just go back to and be like, I can understand you readjust your priorities when you have, like, young kids. I do not. I have a dog. I kind of have social up a little higher than I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I'm going to try to think about it a little bit. But because I came from an environment where I could have done something every single night for whatever in perpetuity. Perpetuity?
Perpetuity.
So
I understood, though. Go ahead.
Okay. And so it was always available. So now it's not available. I have a few friends that I see. So I kind of, when I have the opportunity to hang out and to other people, I kind of say, all right, I'm going to do it. Because
Well, can you explain what changed? Because people listening might not know why that changed in your life.
Okay, so I came from the New York City area, and now I live in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. So right off the bat, there's less people and way less people that can even relate to where I am in life and what I'm doing. So the few friends that I do have, like, if they want to hang out, I'm looking forward to hanging out just because I don't have that opportunity every day. But it's not like I wake up and I'm just like, oh, I crave social situations. Like, I don't really need it. Like, I can go back and forth from introvert to extrovert. But there's times where I'm just like, you know what? I need to go out and just kind of shoot the shit. It's a necessity for me, but I don't know where I would rank it on priority. It becomes a day-to-day thing for me.
Is it declining with age? Or are they not related?
I think it would be substituted by family. Like, when I do have kids, I think that would become a higher priority than going out and just drinking at a bar. Like, I would just want to, water the garden and enjoy the joy of what you get from having a family, right? Like, you talk fondly of, hanging out with your daughter all the time, and it can probably replace a lot of the social aspects that I would crave now is what I foresee.
Got it. So
I kind of like how I'm doing it now, where I'll just have, like, a visitor. It's not like someone will come visit me from the East Coast and I'll just have their undivided attention for days at a time, and we'll catch up. And it's like, it's a little bit more exciting. And there's, like, you know, a lot of times when you're just, like, going out for, like, no reason, just to go out, like, that, it's very, superficial, right? I guess I don't really mean that, but I'm saying, like, now, since time is less, it seems like it has a lot more meaning. Like, the conversations are deeper. The relationships have certainly strengthened.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, it absolutely
like
does.
It's completely, there's completely different dynamics. Like, I don't talk to everybody, or more importantly, I don't see everybody every day. So like when they're here, it's just like, all right, let's experience all this awesome stuff. Let's talk. Let's hang out. Let's prepare a good meal. All that good stuff that I love to do is just multiplied.
I
hope that answers your question kind of.
I think about like the high frequency but low depth of like when you were in college. You see people constantly, but you're just talking about like superficial stuff, as opposed to now, what I really relish, some of my favorite things to do. If I am going to spend time away from trying to be productive or get better or my family and spend time with an old friend like yourself, like one of my favorite things is just to have a deep, maybe 2 or 3 hour dinner and talk about like what's going on in our minds, not so much as like what's going on in the world, you know? And I think that to me, that's a lot better use of my time. So I wouldn't say that I'm not social. It's just that I don't like small talk. I don't like,
You're reminding me of Peter Thiel in Conspiracy right now. It's like, you can't just go up to him and be like, hey man, how's the weather? You got to go up to him and be like, so what's your opinion on the opening, the chess opening of the King's Gambit? And just like, kind of like, it has to be real. It has to be like right away, intellectually grabbing and having some sort of substance, rather just be like, oh, you know, Yankees bullpen, blah, blah, blah. We have nothing to do with that shit. Like, let's talk about something that's constructive.
My main point is that, you know, it's natural for your priorities to shift over time, and you gotta for me, I just want to spend time doing things that I actually enjoy.
Says to define them through those superficial conversations. I want to get more deeper. Have you figured out a way to shortcut some of that stuff?
No. Other than avoid those situations. I'll just start talking about podcasts and books, and then you can pretty clearly tell if there's if there's some kind of reciprocation there. And if there's not, now I just get up and leave.
So really?
You're so just
like,
yeah,
I'll be
like,
at home, here's the keys.
We would invite people over and then I'm like, we can't do that anymore because I don't have an escape hatch. Where I swear to God, we've been out to dinner and
my Uber's here in the middle of like the second quarter.
No, I'm just like, all right man, I gotta go. Like, let's get the check. You know, I just, time is the only resource that is actually valuable to us, or the most, not the only, but the most valuable resource. And I think that's going, steering the conversation back to Jocko. He clearly doesn't like wasting time. And so, you know, I will socialize as long as it's not a waste of time and then I'm enjoying it. So there's a couple other ideas I just want to hit on too, because this is going to be a much shorter podcast, I think, because, you know, it was their first podcast. I liked listening to it because it was a little like rough around the edges compared to like they're more polished and they're better at it now. But
That quickly went away as I was listening to it. When it first starts, he's talking about, what is that, pomegranate tea? And you can hear the crap.
Like, it was hilarious.
The equipment is not that great. They're just doing it just to do it on the recommendation of Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, which is wonderful.
But well,
as soon as the podcast really got going, like all that just like, oh, it's just like any other podcast. I didn't notice that 5 minutes in.
I prefer the lack of polish with podcasts. I think it's more real. It's more representative of a real conversation, as opposed to, there's nothing wrong, there's room in the market for all of them, as opposed to the podcast where they're clearly just, they've written every single word to the exact, like they know exactly what they're going to say. There's like 16 producers. There's music, all that other stuff. I just prefer real conversations, which is what I really like. So he brought up something that I want to talk to you about, and I guess we can just close after this. Towards the end of the podcast, he talks about he's putting his ideas out. You know, he's trying to be himself, and he's putting his ideas out. And the genesis, I think, is of how do you deal with opinions online. And he said something that I think is extremely important and that I want to put in my own life, and I've been trying to. And he says, I'm not trying to convert people. And so when you have a podcast like Jocko's where it's just a discussion of ideas, right? Events that happen in history, ideas he finds useful for his life. When I was younger, I was very adamant about willing to engage in debate and like try to persuade other people. Now I have next to zero desire to do that. So I was on the phone with a friend. We were talking about I don't even remember the topic. And I just shared an idea, a thought that I'd been thinking about and something that I've adopted for myself. And then his response was like, I don't agree with that. Here's how I look at it. And then he said his opinion. I was like, all right, cool. And then we moved on to the next topic. He's like, aren't you going to say anything? And I was like, about what? He's like, but this debate we're having. I was like, I'm not having a debate with you. I was like, that's just, he's like, I was like, listen, man, I just shared that idea with you because it works for me. If it doesn't make sense in your mind or you don't like it, then that's good. But I'm not trying to convert you. This is like, and I don't want you to try to convert me. Like, I'll listen to your ideas, and if they make sense, I'll adapt them and the parts that make sense for me. And I don't know, like, is that, so now hearing me describe that, is that, what's so, why is that funny?
You socially is funny to me. it's just like, there's very little fuck, you know, applied to your philosophy of social situations.
What do you mean?
So what's your question? I'll try to.
No, I think let's go down the avenue. Like, is that weird to you?
No.
What I just said.
No, I can appreciate that. Like, you offer your opinion, or even your idea, and it doesn't need to be changed. Like, sometimes I do that and I get unsolicited advice. And it's just like, no, this is what I'm going to go with. Like, you have literally thought about this for 2 seconds. I've thought about this for, hours or days, right? Like, in aggregate. So I don't take somebody's like, unless it's good, right? Like, you know, we have it, we're not tethered to the idea. If there's a good idea kind of coming in to apply to it, then yes, we'll receive the information well. But if it's somebody just going off the cuff, just to kind of say stuff, like, we basically just brushed up on superficial, conversations. And this is just kind of that, like, hot air that people think that they need to get out just to keep the conversation going.
Or you know what it is?
I could just be like, great, great idea. Like,
why? Let's focus this conversation on Jocko, though. Like, why is he so becoming, like, why are so many people following, like, his advice? And to me, it's because what we're describing here, I like how you said, like, I'm amusing me in social situations, entertaining to you. But what it is what socializing is, like, its root, like, it's to get us to conform. Right. Yeah. Because humans are naturally tribalistic and we like people that think like us or that look like us. There's our mascot Tonks, by the way.
Just barking for no fucking reason. Hey.
Yeah. She's the third co-host. But what I really think about it is like, well, so socializing to me is just, you know, we're exchanging information and most of that the ends to those means is to conform. Right. But Jocko, the reason Jocko's podcast is so popular, the reason his books are interesting, is because, like he said, the podcast, he's like, he's not really social. He's developed his own ideas kind of in a silo based on his unique life experiences.
Yeah.
And now he's just sharing them. And I think that's way more refreshing than most people where, I've talked about this before, I think internet comments are the bane of our existence, that most, I don't think Instagram would be better with no comments. YouTube would be better with no comments. Like you may have one or two or a few handful of comments that actually add something, but vast majority it's just people espousing their opinion where it's, I'm not trying to, and if you take the viewpoint that I'm not trying to convert you or to debate with you, it's just, these are my ideas. You can react to them and adopt them in your own life. And let's just now move on and talk about other ideas. I think that for me is a much more comfortable place than having to debate, especially amongst friends. You really want to have like a knockout debate, and like, you know, there could be emotions involved. It's unpleasant.
No, I understand, and this is the unpleasantness is what makes me giggle when it comes to you, because you've done the same thing. You've kind of been in the silo, and you'll take good ideas from other people and adapt them to yourself, but. You're right. There's so much commentary in just regular life that it's just noise. It's all noise. There's very little impact on social media. Like, there's mostly just negative stuff out there. Like, I get it. It's a great picture. Like, and I don't read YouTube comments, never have. So, but I hear they're quite interesting. So,
or even worse than reading them is leaving them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a world that I just don't bother to get into.
Like, what are you doing with your time? So, in any event, I think that's a good first show. The next Jocko podcast is about he starts getting into the books, and this is his favorite book of all time. It's Hackworth. I think we're going to have a lot more to discuss then.
Awesome.
And so we'll be able to, again, I think the goal of our podcast here is just to talk about the ideas that we learned from Jocko, see if we have anything to add on to them, and then keep it moving.
Hopefully that's useful. We're in the Jocko Academy right now, right?
Exactly. All right, man.
I'm actually purely interested seeing where this goes. I think, like, because it's just one podcast that we focus, that me and you will get a lot from it, rather than
what we are doing right now is we're taking a class on military. Military history. Yeah, is the word he used, and I think we're just doing it together, and we're talking about what we learned, and hopefully, you know, people find that useful. So
I think so. All right, buddy.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Later. See you next class.